Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Everyone deserves a chance in the driver's seat. For GM and Revolt, that means leading the way on the road to an all-electric future and envisioning a world with zero crashes, zero tailpipe emissions, and zero congestion. GM's committed to making EVs accessible for everybody. That means you too. So what are you waiting for? GM's got the keys. You grab the wheel. Learn more about an all-electric future and the 000 initiative at GM.com. GM, everybody in.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy David with Blackwell Renaissance, and I'm here today to tell you guys about Anchor. If you haven't heard of Anchor, it's the best place to make a podcast. Anchor is a free app that has creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast straight from your phone. Anchor also distributes your podcast across all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many others. You can also make money on your podcast with Anchor with no minimum listenership. Anchor is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you're looking to get started on your own podcast, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm.
You know the rules of the game.
Yeah.
You know the rules of the game. I don't care what color. Can you make me 100 million?
Let's talk money. Let's talk.
Can you make me that? If you can't make me that, I won't talk to you. You shouldn't even be at this table.
Hey, I got money on my mind. I'm just trying to get some dough. I ain't picking up my line unless it's money on the phone. Gotta get it on the daily. All I want is dubs. You know what I'm on. I've been chasing after paper. All I know is run money marathon.
Do 5 years of this and be a millionaire and go on, do what I want to do, have kids, go live my chip and joy in the games life out here in Texas, or struggle for next week. The choice is yours.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Black Wealth Renaissance Podcast. Our goal of this podcast is to normalize Black wealth and share helpful resources and tips we believe will be useful in attaining and maintaining generational wealth. Please feel free to rate and comment on our podcast. We would love to hear all feedback you have. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Black Wealth Renaissance Podcast. Your boy, David Bella, 1/4 of the Black Wealth Renaissance, checking in on my co-host. Fellas, how y'all feeling?
What up, what up, what up? It's your boy, Jalen. I'm feeling great. Looking even better. It's a lovely Saturday. It ain't too hot. It ain't too cold. So I'm feeling blessed.
You feeling yourself since you got your little twist on, huh?
A little bit. Just a little bit.
What's good, everybody? It's your boy, Kelly, here, chilling with the gang. Gang got three of the fourth. Hey, what's going on over there, Jared?
Man, what's good? What's good? What's good? Your boy checking in. I'm all over here by my lonesomes, man. I'm just chilling though. It's a good Saturday.
Man. It's blessings, though. I tell y'all, every time, y'all, we getting closer and closer, man. We getting closer and closer. We got three of us today. Kelly popped up on us. We weren't even expecting them in time.
Hell yeah.
You always got to expect them. You never know. When
Kelly like John Wick.
But yeah, man, we got another great episode planned for y'all today. It's just the gang here today, but we got a couple topics we want to run through with y'all. Before we hop into everything, we got to ask y'all to make sure that you like, subscribe, rate, review the podcast.
All of that.
Yeah, if you're a fan, you're a new listener, first-time listener.
We want to say welcome.
Welcome, and show your love, give your feedback. Whatever you got to say, we want to hear anything you guys have to say. It helps us grow. It helps us make the show better and helps us give you guys more of what you want because we all about giving you the knowledge and information necessary. So, yeah, y'all make sure y'all sub, like, comment, rate, wherever you watching. Yeah. And with that said,
Let's get this thing started.
Let's get this thing rolling. So
yeah, like he said, it's the gang today. We don't have any guests, so we haven't done this in a while. But yeah, I let my boy, bro, man, David, pop it off. Man. What are we about to talk about, man?
Yeah, so we're going to just start this thing off, just hopping into it with just a couple different topics. We want to start off with credit, man. We've been talking about credit a lot this week. Last week, as you guys know, we talked about the launch of our course, Credit Fundamentals. So we've been kind of putting out content related to credit, talking about it, just kind of gauging people's knowledge, interests, and stuff like that. And we started seeing some real interesting conversations pop up when it came around credit and just the lack of understanding of how it works and the way to leverage it properly.
Okay. So with that being said,
I kind of want to ask a question.
What's that?
When did y'all feel like it was in y'all's best interest to know about credit?
I would definitely say junior year of college, whenever they sent me my first offer for a credit card. Whenever they sent that, I was like, I should, because in college, they send you those offers and you're like, oh, okay. It's 0% APR, all this stuff like that. I mean, it sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it made me want to learn more about it just because it's like, if I'm going to get a credit card, I should at least know how this stuff works.
Probably around the same time for me, it was like junior year. And the reason I started looking into it was I had some frat brothers. They was just talking about like their credit score. And then I was also getting to that point where it's like, I'm about to get ready to graduate. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I want to make sure, I got my shit in order before I exit this place. So I went ahead and I looked at my credit score. I was like, damn, I don't like this. I was in a bad position.
Can you tell them why you don't like that, my brother?
So if y'all don't know, in the early episodes, I talked about this. So whenever I was younger, my mom put a bill in my name and she didn't pay it. So I had bad credit. Like I had like a 5-something credit score. I was like, man, what the fuck is this? Like, I really was just like, what the hell? Like, I ain't gonna lie. I was like so pissed off. I was hurt. I was like, man, how am I going to make it? Because I didn't really know like what I know now.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up looking into it. And like you said, I ended up looking into like a secured credit card. I was like, what do I have to do to start establishing good credit? Because I know I need to do something to at least start fixing this. So then I got me the Capital One Platinum card, the secure card. I put like $500 deposit into it. Then I started using it that summer and just started swiping it for like gas and small little purchases that I started paying back. And like within the next few months, maybe like 6 to 7 months, I was able to start bringing it up to like the mid sixes and stuff like that. So it was pretty, it was a learning experience, but that's whenever I realized credit was an important factor and it was something that I needed to start learning about.
I would say for me, you sparked my interest. Whenever we lived together in college, you had a credit card and you was talking about your credit score and how it was going up and how you were using it. And I was like, man, I don't know what this credit shit is, but I need to get on this. So then whenever I graduated, I looked more into it and I ended up getting a Capital One card. And then I didn't really know what I wanted to do with using just the credit card or exactly how I should get my credit score up. So I just did a lot of research and then started actually getting a lot more credit cards and started being very strategic in how I used it and where I used it at. But you were definitely the biggest influence of trying to get my credit card.
Hey, man. Appreciate that. Cause I mean, I think it was me and Jerry. We got our credit at the same time, right, bro?
Yeah, we both got credit cards around the same time.
You want to talk to the people about your credit journey, Slim, too, my brother?
Yeah, so with mine, it was kind of similar to Jalen's in the fact that, like, I kind of started behind the eight ball. So, like, I first, like, pulled my report and everything, and I was looking at my credit score, and, like, it wasn't good. And, like, I had some stuff on there, and I didn't know what it was. Like, apparently, like, one time while I was in a completely different place somewhere, like, a hospital had a bill for me or something, like, I had some incorrect information and stuff that I had to get off of mine. So like I started having to try to figure out like, okay, how do I get this off? What is a dispute? You know, like who do I need to get in contact with? What do I need to tell them? Like, how do I prove that this wasn't me? So like I had to go through that whole process of trying to get that stuff removed. And then I started where you and Kelly went as far as getting a secure card. I had to pay like $200 to start. And then from there, I started using that card for small purchases. And then basically slowly but surely built a fairly strong credit report. to where now, I mean, I know I'm basically going to get approved for whatever I need.
Yeah. Ooh. But that's the thing with credit. Like, that's why I wanted to have this conversation on the podcast, was because, like, we've seen a lot of people saying stuff related to credit.
Let's talk about why we saw those things, about what we posted on the page and what kind of sparked that.
Okay, so we posted a clip from an earlier episode. I believe that's what, episode 32, 30 something. I'm going to be lying to y'all. Mastering Your Credit with Irene Pruitt. Y'all check that out. But it was a clip talking about how the credit bureaus work, basically, like, not credit bureaus, collection agencies. Collection agencies, they'll go and they'll get these debts from these companies and they'll buy them for pennies on a dollar. Mm-hmm. If you owe a company $10,000, they might buy this debt for a couple thousand bucks, maybe even less than that, maybe a few hundred dollars. But what it was saying was that these collection agencies can then come after you for that money. And we met a lot of people saying that, oh, you don't owe a collection agency this and you don't owe a collection agency that.
Yeah, like, I'm not paying that. I'm going to just wait.
It's going to fall off my report after 7 years. And it's like,
hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
That whole mentality when it comes to credit, in my opinion, is being very reactive instead of proactive. Mm. Like, whenever we talked about our individual credit journeys, at one point we all realized that we had to become proactive.
Yeah.
Like, we can't stay in this space whenever it comes to thinking about credit, where it's just like, and debts in general, where it's just like, oh, this is a problem. I'm going to ignore this problem until it goes away.
Mm. That's interesting, because I definitely see that, like, just within the Black community, like, a lot of times we have credit and people be like you said, oh, I'm going to just let it fall off, or them, I'm not paying them people back. Like, that's their problem or whatever. But what you don't realize is you're creating a bad habit, a negative habit, because if you have this one person that you're feeling comfortable doing this with, mm-hmm. what stops you, or what's going to give you that discipline of not doing it to the next person who offers you credit? And that's really how you get stuck in that cycle of bad debt, mm-hmm. because now you just used to not paying stuff back and you think that that's okay. And I kind of also want to talk about, like, why having that is also bad for you. Like, you're paying more to borrow mm-hmm. whenever you have a lower credit score.
It's expensive to have bad credit.
Yeah, man.
So, like, with that, like, why do y'all think people are like that? Or why do y'all think, like, people feel like it's okay for us to say, okay, that's not my problem, I'm not paying them people back?
Because you can live everyday life without it. I think that's one of the biggest things is, okay, I have a bad credit score, but that's not going to stop me from going to the gas station and get some gas. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to stop my everyday life. Now, if I want to go purchase a property, mm-hmm. go purchase a long-term stuff, it might affect it. But as my everyday normal life, it don't affect it, so I don't need it. Like, a lot of people don't live in the future. They live mm-hmm. in what's right now, and that's it. I can't look 2-3 years ahead, and maybe I do want the house, but I can't look right there right now because guess what? I got bad credit. I don't mm-hmm. need it. So I think currently it's just because you don't necessarily have to use it in your everyday life.
That's interesting. Jerry, bro, man, David, y'all got any?
So I see if my brother Spiller had any interesting takes on this. I'm thinking about just like this conversation with people not really wanting to understand it. I kind of want to dive more into like some understanding of it. Like, so whenever we was getting into our credit journeys, like, what was the things that we discovered was helping us? Like, for you, I know you said you had that negative report on your thing and you went get this card, but I mean, I'm pretty sure it was more to the process than that. Like, you had to educate yourself.
So,
like,
yeah. So, like, I just had to learn what, like, compromise, what made up a credit score and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, my biggest thing was whenever I start using this card, I want to start reporting on-time payments all the time. Like, so I was making sure, hey, I'm paying before the date it's even due. Like, I'm making sure that I'm taking care of the card. And I was doing things that I didn't know. I was wiping the card off completely, which I later learned that, you know, you could keep a little bit on it just to have a little balance. But I was wiping the card off completely. But I was, my biggest thing was making sure I'm reporting on-time payments, because I knew that made up a large portion of the score. I didn't know everything, but I knew that if I at least start reporting on-time payments and start showing that, hey, I'm showing good faith to one creditor, I know at least it should start reporting something good. I didn't understand and start learning about, like, the credit repair like Jared did. I didn't understand and learn how to take that off. I was also kind of afraid. I'm not going to lie. I was like, that was my mom using it. I was like, I don't want to get my mom in trouble. Like, if these people are like, well, maybe it was like identity fraud or something like that. So I'm like, I don't even know like how to attack this problem. So my first thing was just making sure I'm reporting on time payments.
I got a question for Jared. So, like, you said you had to look more into getting the correct information on your credit report. What did mm-hmm. that process look like?
So the first thing I had to do was actually like, well, so let me rewind. So one of the first things I did after I graduated and I got a job was I paid for credit repair, and I didn't really know what was going on. And I ended up, that didn't get it removed, or I thought it was removed and then it popped back on my account, my score. It was a lot of different weird stuff going on, but ended up not removing the stuff off my account. So I kind of figured like, hey, let me go ahead and just try to do this myself at this point. So it started with me pulling my report and from the three credit bureaus and seeing exactly who was reporting what and what was going on. And so then from there, I had to use that information to figure out who exactly was saying that I had this bill with them, who was trying to collect this debt, and I had to get in contact with them. I had to figure out what letters that I needed to send them and get in contact with them to let them know that, like, hey, this wasn't me, and get a basically try to get like a settlement and get them to remove that off of my report. It was a long process, but like a lot of it came from having to do like a lot of reading, a lot of searching online, and just different stuff like that. I had to, it took a nice little minute to figure it all out, but eventually it did.
So this is something that you discuss in the course, exactly how someone can, let's say I've got some incorrect information on my credit report that mm-hmm. I want to dispute. Is that something that you go over it in the course?
Yeah. So I talk about like the general dispute process. Like, it won't specifically go into like each individual situation, because some of them are a little different depending upon exactly what you're dealing with. But in the course, it goes over like basically the general guidelines of what I had to do, and it'll get you going in the right direction. And it also points you away from a few different things that I almost did in the beginning that you shouldn't do. Like, I almost disputed it online, and that would have led to me basically being held responsible by the collection agency as it being my debt when it actually wasn't mine. And so, like, I found that out before I did it. And so it was actually like a really a big blessing. So I ended up not having that like stuck with me.
So whenever you settled with them, you didn't have to pay them close to anything of the full amount. You were able to settle for like nothing, or like settle for like pennies on what? Because it wasn't a debt that you incurred yourself, right?
Really, pennies on it. I shouldn't have had to pay anything. If I knew what I know now, I wouldn't have had to pay anything. But it was pennies on a dollar for what it was. And basically, I just got in contact with them, and I had to like just find a settlement amount and then get them to like, I paid it, and they were like, okay, cool. They sent me a letter letting me know that they will go ahead and remove everything off of my account. And like, I had to get the proof of that before I paid them. And so like, that's another big thing that I mentioned. And of course, like, make sure you're going to get proof of them removing something before you pay anybody anything. Because especially with it being somebody, like we said, they collected, or excuse me, they bought your debt from another company for pennies on a dollar sometimes. You don't want to automatically just go pay them off, because then they might not even do the rest of the job as far as removing everything off of your account.
Shiesty. You got to watch yourself with these credit bureaus. Shiesty. Right? These collection agencies and all this stuff. And that's the stuff that my brother Jared educates y'all on in our credit fundamentals course. Like I said, that's released already. It released this past weekend. Y'all definitely If y'all want to learn more about your personal credit, learn from our credit journeys individually, definitely check out that Credit Fundamentals course. Link going to be in the show notes to that.
Yeah. And my boy is a licensed credit repair agent, right? What is the certification you got?
Oh, it's a board certified credit repair specialist.
Yeah. So, yeah, y'all get that. Yeah.
That's why I said if I knew what I know now, I wouldn't have paid anything. But back then, I didn't know some of the things I know now.
Hey. So let's hop in there. So what's some of the things you know now that made you know that, like, what you don't have to pay? Because, you know, I was just talking about it. Like, people was like, oh, man, I got to pay them. So, like, what don't you have to pay for these people?
So, like, if I had known the fact that, like, if I had been able to prove that it wasn't me, number one, like, I could have went through the bill. And, like, some of the information I'm sure would have been wrong. And with me going through that and actually looking through and seeing the fact that the information was wrong and me being able to prove that the information was wrong, I would have just been able to tell them, like, hey, this wasn't me. Send a letter letting them know that, like, hey, this wasn't me. I was there in this other location. Here's my proof, blah, blah, blah. And then I wouldn't even have to pay that. Like, I wouldn't have to settle with them at all. Because, again, it wasn't my bill.
Mm. Okay.
All right. So how do you monitor that information? So how, like, if I'm a person that has maybe miscorrect information on my report, how do I know?
So that's where you go as far as getting, you're going to need credit monitoring as far as pulling your credit report. Like I said, when I first did it, I pulled my credit report and we go through that. And of course, too, explaining like how you can go and get a free one. I pulled my report from the three bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And that's how I was able to start like figuring out who was saying what, because on there it's going to list out what your negative marks are, who said it, why, like it gives dates and everything, like all of the information. So you can go through that and then start to look and see like, okay, cool. Why is this on here even in the first place? So I had to pull that. And then from there, I was able to try to figure out like, I had to monitor it too. So I had to sign up for legitimate monitoring because at first I had like Credit Karma and stuff like that. And I also explained in the course why that's not really helpful. So I had to sign up for like Experian. And then from there, I was able to monitor and see when it was actually removed, make sure that they stay correct on their word as far as getting it removed in the letter. And then like also another thing that I know now that I would have looked into is stuff like the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Like there are different rules and regulations that these people have to abide by that I just didn't know.
Wait, so you're telling me my 750 credit card ain't right?
Nah, champ. You might not want to believe that. So Credit Karma, yeah, they be lying. Because, how to explain, they don't necessarily be lying. They just use a different, if we're using addition and subtraction, they're using like multiplication or something. Like they're using a different way to try to figure out the formula. And it makes it come out with a nicer, prettier score. There's a reason that it's free.
Because it's just an estimator, right? It's just an estimated score. It's not an actual score.
No, it's definitely not your exact score.
Okay.
And damn Credit Karma. All they here for is to sell y'all some credit cards. I just want y'all to know that. Like,
yeah,
real.
That's exactly how they get paid. Like,
nobody love. Credit Karma ain't got no love for you.
Real deal.
None at all.
Everybody been scammed by Credit Karma.
Hell yeah. And with like the pulling your credit, we also have a free downloadable that really walks you through how to do that, correct, Jared?
Yeah, it should be in the show notes. You can download it. It's a PDF that just walks you through exactly how to get your full free credit report from Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And it's not that hard. Like, you just, biggest thing I do want to advise people, and it does say it also in the instructions, is make sure you're near a printer or something like that so that you can get the report printed off, because you only going to get to see it and basically have access to it on your computer that one time. And then after that one time, you going to have to pay.
Okay. Uncle Sam want that money.
That's secure files, man. Them secure business filings, you know.
Unless certain special circumstances. And if there's enough interest in that, definitely let me know, y'all. I can let y'all know. It's like some special circumstances that you can go through or that you might be in that would allow you to get another free credit report. Like a lot of people might be dealing with right now with coronavirus is unemployment. That can be a special circumstance to where you can get a free credit report.
Okay. Okay. Hey, y'all cop that course.
Hey, man. I'm telling you,
I didn't even know some of this stuff.
Downloadables. Hey, but real quick before we get out of credit, y'all, I want to still talk about one thing me and Kelly was talking about off camera beforehand. Just another strategy with credit, like using your credit card to make payments that you were going to make anyway. So like a lot of people don't like to, you know, we got a lot of people, they get a real anti-credit. They like, oh man, debt is the devil, da 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 da. Well, like one strategy that like Kelly said, when he seen how I was using it and like he adopted it, we still both use to this day, is we pay bills that we're going to have to pay anyway on our credit card first in order to collect cash back points for them. And the way that works is instead of just carrying a huge balance on your credit card, you pay the bill and then you pay the bill off. You don't just let your credit card balance run up.
And one of the things that I use, because I'm a busy person and I'm forgetful, especially about stuff like that. So my bills are set on auto pay, right, with my credit card. Then on top of that, it's set on auto pay for the credit card balance. So it's automatically paying itself through my account. And it's automatically, my bills are automatically getting paid and I'm earning reward points.
Hey, that's smart. That's a nice little hack.
How many reward points you got on, Kelly? Let them know.
I got on Chase, I got about 120,000. And then on credit, on Capital One, I probably got about another 60,000.
So you're looking at these points, that's moved a decimal over two places and that, well, no. What? Four places. And that's your monetary amount. You got, so a band and what?
About 500.
Yeah, so
hey, that's good. That's some damn good.
Man, I would have some damn reward points too, man. Y'all, hey, listen to the wise, y'all. Don't get Amazon accounts with your family, dog. Man, I had my credit card stuff. I got it set up like this, man. My shit like 2 years running, just paying bills. I'm like, man, my cash back points don't never go up, man. My older sister been using my damn cash back points to buy shit on Amazon, man.
Oh man, hold on, man.
Man, I was hurt, son. When I found that one, I said, damn, man. I'm like, man, my shit don't never go up. I pay my shit every month. I only got like $60 in this motherfucker,
damn,
man.
Hey, don't let your sister own your stuff. Don't let your family own. If they own Amazon a lot, don't let them to your cash back.
But that say something else about credit, just even with credit, man. Y'all only fuck with people with credit that y'all trust, man. Don't be extending cosigns to people.
Honestly, yeah. I say don't even.
But there is something I do want to talk about before we move on. I do want to talk about like adding people to your credit score, mm-hmm. to your credit account, even though they're not authorized users. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a huge benefit. Don't confuse us joking around like that. You can I actually help somebody out.
Huh? Rich, my nigga. You got Versace glasses on.
Oh my God.
I do got Versace glasses. But yeah, you can go and add people to your credit account and help them with their credit score, especially if they're new. Ask your parents if you're young, ask your family member that you know has good credit. Tell them that you do not want to be an authorized user, but you do want to get added to their account. So you can be added as a credit user. Mm.
Versace.
Me go.
Yeah, but hey, no, that's game though. That's real game. Make sure that's a whole nother thing. You can add them and not have them actually fuck up your credit. That's basically what it is. Yes. So
hey,
for sure.
And I'm pretty sure you go over that in the course too, right, Jared?
Yeah, my bad. I was muted. Yes, sir. I do.
That's a bet.
Damn Zoom. All right. So with that, y'all make sure y'all check out Credit Fundamentals. Like we said, we got these free downloadables down here below. We got the link in the show notes. We got y'all just check in, tap in. You want to learn. My brother, like we said, he a board certified credit repair specialist. He knows this stuff. He went through the education. He went through the shit himself.
But
so, special discount for the podcasters?
We actually are. We're doing a 50% discount right now on the course.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so y'all definitely tap in while it's at 50%. But I also do want to highlight, it's not just a credit repair course. This course is really just to teach you everything about credit. Like we were saying, like some of the things we didn't know, not just specifically towards just repairing, but pretty just much so you can understand how the system works and how you can use it to your advantage.
Yeah, I did want to definitely say that. Like my biggest focus point in the course is not per se how to repair your credit, although I do go over like the dispute process and some stuff with that. But it's mainly like how to understand your credit, how to understand what's going on. Because like I said, I initially started out paying for credit repair when I actually didn't need it. Like, so that's one of the biggest things I want to stop people doing is wasting money on stuff like that, where you're actually going out and paying for credit repair or, you know, paying for different stuff and you don't really need it. Like you're not even in a situation. You just need to understand exactly what's going on with your score.
So with that, we're going to segue into the next topic, man. So next thing we want to talk about is black capitalism, man. That's a major topic.
Hold on. And I kind of want to like
explain
why we segueing into this. So I was scrolling on that bird app, that Twitter app.
Damn bird app.
Yeah. So I was scrolling on that bird app and I saw someone say, you can't love capitalism and black people at the same time. It doesn't correlate. So I had to ask y'all, how do y'all feel about that?
You know, I see what they're saying, but I don't agree with that. I understand why they feel that way. Like, this is just me looking at stuff from, like, a broad scope lens. Like, I think about it like those people that say stuff like that, those black AF people, you know, that show that was on Netflix that, like, everything, like, fell back on slavery.
Yeah,
I feel like they feel that way because the American capitalistic system, like, our economy was built off the backs of slavery. So they feel like there's no possible way that capitalism can work for black people. But I don't agree with that because, as we know, us individuals sitting on this call right now, that opportunities now and opportunities then are nowhere near the same. Like, we can do so much more now. We got way more opportunities. And I don't believe that because, I don't know, like,
so
socialism definitely not the dang answer.
No, not at all. But I really want to know, do y'all think that you could be successful in a business or in selling whatever product or service you have and not prey on black people as a black person?
What do you mean by prey on black people?
Prey, I mean, maybe not necessarily prey.
Yeah,
your target market being specifically black people.
Okay, so you mean like, can you be a successful business, like black owned business, and not target black people?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but I'm not saying you should be. Yes, because like people, you can make a business for anybody. Like, your target market doesn't have to necessarily be like specifically African American, but like the benefactors of your business could be.
You feel like that comes into play a little bit when you're talking about black capitalism. I feel like a lot of people, especially with that mindset, believe that people that are successful in business that make a money off of black people, they're praying.
Yeah, like that is definitely a big thing in that school of thought where it's like, whenever you're capitalistic and black, it means like capitalist has a negative connotation in that sense. Like, it's like as a capitalist, you're taking advantage of people.
Yeah.
When in all reality,
you're taking advantage of opportunity.
You're taking advantage of opportunity and you're providing people with things that they want.
That's what the United States economy is.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Off of opportunity, and it's a market. It's not necessarily preying off of people. This is just a market and it's opportunity. Just take advantage of it. Don't be on the capital. Don't be on the consumer side, be on the capitalist side.
I also feel like whenever I was looking at that, I feel like they also feel like black people get left out of capitalism. Because a lot of times we'll see certain things happen, even like with the weed industry right now, with the marijuana industry, right? Like, you see people are starting to capitalize off of that. But who's reaping the benefits of that? It's not our community. So I definitely feel like that is another reason why people would say that, because we don't see enough of us benefiting from that. But I do also want to say is, how are we putting ourselves into positions of ownership to take advantage of this? Because that is also another thing. Like, in order to benefit from capitalism, you have to be in a position of ownership, a position of equity, to where you can start receiving certain things. So I say that to say, how do we kind of start navigating and moving through that? Because even with like this weed stuff, I do see more, I see black people starting to start dispensaries. We had our girl Hope on this. There's like people like Mike Tyson.
They just had a company in New Jersey. New Jersey just legalized marijuana. It's like some black company they call Roll Up Life. they'll hit us up. And I mean, they wanted like a cannabis dispensary. Like, it's people getting into it.
But they're not benefiting it at the rate of what other people are. And far too many times, people in our neighborhoods are getting locked up. They're going to jail for a long time for things like this. Because I remember you,
I was literally just talking to Quincy yesterday, bro. Yeah, my boy Quincy. Shout out to my boy Quincy, My brother, he went to jail for like, Quincy was in jail for like a year.
Yeah.
For a year behind like a couple QPs. Yeah. Like, he went to jail for a year behind that. And it's like, I forgot what example he had gave me, but it was like somebody did something else. He, dude in BR, right after this election, he slapped a woman like she was out jogging. He slapped her and called her a nigga bitch. Yeah, son, yeah. They didn't charge him with no hate crime, and his bond was like 30 bands or something like that. Quincy bond for some weed was 250.
God damn.
Just the disparity in that shit right there.
250?
Yeah. That's because it still is considered a Schedule 1.
Mm-hmm. It's still considered a Schedule 1 drug, and it's federally illegal in our state.
Damn.
Just to even speak to that more, like, that discrepancy with it, like, I guess, like, some people, they look at the overall thing with capitalism as, like, it's not made to benefit us. But I think, like, zooming out on it is, like, we need to understand that it can benefit us if we take the steps. Like, one dude I love looking at, Reginald Lewis. Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? Like, he was one of the first Black people to create a billion-dollar business and kind of start breaking back some of those barriers, because in our reality, at the end of the day, that whole belief system of capitalism can't work for Black people, capitalism isn't built for Black people, isn't going to put us in a position of power ever. Mm. It's going to leave us as people who are dependent on the systems and the other people, instead of people who are creating for ourselves and creating opportunities for ourselves, which we can and have done in the past.
Mm. And I kind of want to expound up on that too, because I definitely feel like we can benefit from capitalism also. Like you said, there's ever since Reginald Lewis and like since some of those earlier days, we have Robert people. Robert F. Smith. We have billionaires now.
Donahue Peebles.
Mm. Talk to them, man. So, like, we have people who are able to win. So whenever we look at those people, we should start saying, okay, if they were able to do it, let me go study and see what they were doing. How were they able to put themselves in this position? Because a lot of times, another thing with capitalism, people think is, oh, man, they're just going to take this money and pass it on to their family. They're going to keep on doing this. And yes, like, with some of the top 1%, that is how it works. But a lot of millionaires are made within that one generation. A lot of millionaires come from nothing. They come from rag to riches. And
that money doesn't stay in the family.
It doesn't stay in the family past 2 to 3 generations after that, because they don't have that foundation. So I said that to say, we just need to start understanding and really start taking advantage of it, instead of saying, oh, this isn't meant for us. We need to start understanding the rules and start understanding how to get into the game. And we need to understand ways that we can benefit from it. And you need to start understanding how not to get taken advantage of also, because that's something that capitalism happens too. Like, a lot of people, sometimes they might have great ideas and they might feel like, oh man, my idea was taken, something like that. But if you're not protecting your idea, a lot of times we want to share certain things on Instagram or Twitter and we go viral, right? And then a year down the road, you might see a big company doing what you was doing. But guess what? You didn't legally protect it. You didn't patent what you was doing. So they have the right, because capitalism is a thing. They have the right to capitalize on that opportunity. They just knew the game better than you knew the game. So don't be mad at the players. Be mad at yourself for not understanding the rules. That's like me trying to go play basketball with Michael Jordan, and I don't know one single rule. I just pick up the ball and start going running around the court and I haven't bounced it. That's a damn travel. Give me my damn ball back.
You got to understand where you are, where you have an advantage. Especially with these major companies. Just speaking on taking ideas and things, you got to make sure that you understand that you have the advantage of having the idea.
Mm-hmm.
You're at disadvantage more than likely by money, by the amount of people behind you. So you've got to use the fact that they don't know your idea. right? So don't just publicly put it out there like that. Make people sign NDAs, mm-hmm. you know? Make sure you have a lawyer in place already before you just try to get a trademark, you know? Just make sure you're protecting yourself and using your advantage to yourself.
Definitely got to learn how to play the game on a different level. What you got, Jared?
And one thing I definitely want to add, like just pitch into the conversation, just as far as a general thought with Black capitalism, like people need to understand that, in my opinion, Black capitalism helps to fuel what we need as far as Black nepotism, right? So like,
hold on. God damn. Say that one more time.
Bro, like, because, like, for example, what you said, like, the Black capitalism is going to fuel the Black nepotism because, for example, with, like, what you said with the marijuana industry, right? There was a city alderman in Chicago who said, you're not coming to my district and putting a dispensary in it unless you have a Black part owner. Like, this is how it's going to have to work to get in my district. Like, but the thing is, next year, he doesn't need to worry about the other nonprofits in the city that may not look like him not fueling his campaign or not putting money into him being able to have his different things so that he can run for the next year. That's where the Black capitalism, in my opinion, comes and plays a part. We need to have the money so that we can fuel the people that are going to do the correct things for the people, right? We need the nepotism. We need the programs where it's like, hey, I can, you know, go out and I can say, as a city alderman, these people aren't putting anything in my district without having a Black owner and benefiting some Black people because I have that position of power. The capitalism is what's going to help fuel them to that position of power. Like, without the capitalism, without the money, you have no influence. Like Burman said, or like David, you basically going with just asking people. You're at a place of disadvantage. You can't do anything or force anything because you have no leverage. You have to use the money as the leverage to make things happen.
My brother just dropped some bombs on that. I need clues, bombs on this, man.
You need them shits, but no, for real though, because like I know we actually had this a conversation we have often between the brothers of BWR. It's just like we'll see that conversation a lot on Twitter, where it's just like from that victimhood mentality that. Like, oh, things can't change. We can't make things better mentality. But the things we're talking about is how things are actually changed. It starts on the local level, like my brother talking about. And then with that money, we also see how these other people move. Because I know one thing, we talked about this with Donahue a few weeks ago, was like whenever wealthy people or like just communities with specific interests want something done, they talk, they have money put together and have people that are talking, their whole job is just to talk to people who make legislation to represent their interests. Like,
and what they call?
Political action committees and lobbyists.
And I kind of want to talk, because you was just telling me about like how some lobbyists. I want you to talk about that and how that's beneficial. And with us having the capital and the resources, how you can make changes to certain things.
Okay. So like, I was in the Business Wars earlier today. UPS, whenever they were... like it was maybe 30 years ago or something, they got in some trouble with OSHA because they were just like, they were doing some crazy shit, y'all. Like they went from their maximum package weight went from being like 70 pounds to like 150 over the course of like a couple months. Like they just changed it and they had no regulations. And like their injury rates got really high. Like you was looking at the sector, like everybody else injury rates down here and UPS is like, they saying 80% of the people there are reporting some type of chronic pain or something like that. Some type of injuries or some shit like that. Yeah, so like OSHA was like, hey, yo.
Y'all got to chill.
Y'all doing some shit wrong back here.
As
like
a safety professional, when OSHA come in, it is not a game. Let me tell you, that shit is not a game.
So So UPS, with their money, their backing, their special interest in their company, what they did was they got a political action committee together. They got some lobbyists together. They threw money at them. And they went combat OSHA's rights to regulate them. So through doing,
why did they do this?
They went against the government.
It's UPS.
It's UPS. They're one of the largest companies in this country. They contribute to our economy a lot.
They contribute to infrastructure, my brother.
Like, they have some leverage here. So it's like, okay, we got this leverage. Y'all telling us we can't do this. Granted, they still got in trouble. They still have to like scale back some shit.
Yeah.
But just the fact that they could go to Congress and have their interests represented, like it was backed by money. Like, I think that's the part of politics that we miss out on a lot whenever mm-hmm. we talk about Black capitalism in America. America's a capitalist country and money runs everything. We pool our finances together to get people who can actually be paid to talk to these people, and you start seeing shit happen.
I think there's a couple of things with that, though, because it's like, yes, it'll definitely fuel by money, but you also got to remember, they can't shut UPS down.
Nah, bro.
You can't shut UPS down, so what are you going to do? I can't shut y'all down.
They had a strike in the 70s, right? They was losing 40 mil a day in the 70s. A day. All in all, the strike cost them almost a bill in revenue.
That's using
a different game.
That's using your power, your leverage to your advantage, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And kind of speaking, what you got, bro?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, people got to understand that's the type of leverage that we need to, or the direction that we need to be working towards as Black people. Like, I watched a documentary, The Black Godfather, and it was talking about Clarence Avant. And just the way that he finessed to help Black people by using his leverage and his connections and his money is what we, like, in my opinion, we have to start doing. We have to start pushing towards making those legislative changes by being able to back people, paying, like I said, paying lobbyists, paying for people's campaigns, being large contributors to campaigns. That's how you get people to listen.
And speaking of campaigns, I kind of want to segue into the next topic that we have. Recently, you know, we just had this presidential election that's still technically going on. It's been pretty crazy, everything that's been going on with this election. But we just kind of want to talk about, with the Biden win, some of those proposed legislations and kind of the effect of what that actually means when it comes to, you know,
you and investing
and finances. Because, I mean, you know, they've been talking about this election. It's like, this is the most important election of your life. But, I mean, all of us, as we know, we're not huge subscribers to the idea that politicians are going to change our lives. It's more so like your day-to-day life is not going to be affected by who's in office. It's more so about how you move based on how they're going to move with legislation. So we kind of want to hop into some of the different things that have been proposed. So I know one of the biggest topics that's been going all over ever since the Biden win has been taxes. People have been like, oh, Biden's going to raise taxes. So we was like doing some digging and stuff on it. I just kind of wanted to get some of the facts out there that we could find about it. So just for the tax plan, for anybody that's not familiar with it, the proposed Biden tax plan would be basically taxing people who made over $400,000. Their tax rate would go up from being 37% to 39%. That's on like the employee side of things. If the corporate businesses, so like S-Corps, C-Corps, their tax rate would go up from 21% to 28%. So you would see an increase there. So like if you own an S-Corp or anybody like that, your taxes just went up. The child tax credits, those change from 2K to 3K, correct?
So that means you're able to write off more, right?
Yes. Yeah. So you're able to get a higher deduction for your kid. And they're talking about first-time home buyer credits and stuff like that. So it's a lot of stuff to unpack with this tax plan. What was the capital gains tax again, bro? I know he's talking about upping the capital gains tax, too. Yeah,
they were talking about upping the capital gains tax if you have over $1 million in assets. And when you sell it, if it's sold in a period of time, taxed as much as 60%. But that's just a rumor that's going around. It's a possible proposal. But we'll see as the time goes on. It's going to get interesting. I think one of the biggest things is, and like I said, I don't know if this is, I haven't found any article that's talking about this, but I've seen it on Twitter about the tax on stocks. Mm-hmm. If you purchase stocks, I think that's going to be huge. And it will directly affect those that invest into the stock market.
You come against that what?
Yeah, there's a proposed tax of like, I want to say it's either 0.1 or 0.01% on each transaction.
Each equity transaction, I think I did see that.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So if you want to play in the capital markets, you're going to have Uncle Sam getting his hand in there too.
I need my cuts, man.
I mean, investing got a whole lot more popular over the past few years.
It did. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. And I want people that's listening to understand that this is what it's really about. This is what the election is really about. It's understanding what's going to happen and how can you move your money and take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Right? There's always going to be an advantage. There's always going to be a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. Find the advantages and use them to your advantage.
Yeah. Because, man, the way Trump came through this thing, he cut some regulations back. Like, he opened up taxes like a motherfucker. Uh-huh. I think before, what the corporate tax rate was like closer to 30-something%. And yeah, he chopped that whole down to 21. Like, he cut back some regulations. So, like, when it comes to taxes, I guess everybody concerned would be like, oh, man, Biden going to raise taxes. That's like the whole Democrat thing. But like my brother Kelly was saying, it's all about how you move.
Yeah.
It's all about how you, what are their policies and how you react to them.
Just like we were talking about the capital gains, I think if that does get passed or a similar proposal gets passed, I think you'll see a lot more 1031 exchanges. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what I'm talking about, taking advantage of understanding what the tax is or what's going to happen, and then using that to your advantage of using a 1031 exchange so you don't have to pay taxes.
Real quick, Kelly, can you break down what a 1031 exchange is?
I'm not a lawyer, but I will say, from my understanding,
this is not investment advice.
No, not at all. Is when you are selling something, some type of asset, and you're purchasing another asset within a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to particularly pay taxes
on the gains.
Yes.
Yep. So,
hey, and I kind of want to talk about like some of the sectors that we can start looking into seeing under this new administration, some sectors that you could possibly see taking off that you can really kind of benefit from and kind of get ahead of the ball while it's still time.
Yeah, like with everything, I mean, everything is still in the proposal stage, obviously. Biden's still the president-elect, and we waiting on everything to shake out, all this stuff. We don't know what policies are actually going to come to fruition, but I know one of the biggest things, one of the biggest speculations with the market since Biden was elected is the whole proposal around the Green New Deal. A lot of people have been talking about that for the past few years now. Been a thing, and the whole thing with the Green New Deal is like progressing America and the world away from fossil fuels and non-renewable energy sources to the point where we become a zero net emissions, which means the amount of carbon we're putting out is actually being absorbed by the atmosphere instead of being stored and, you know, causing issues by 2050. So, with that being said, you're starting to see like a large push in the electric vehicle space, like a lot of renewable energy things. And another part of the Green New Deal that I just want to address, like, is infrastructure too. They were talking about infrastructure and also income inequality. That was a part of it. There's just like where it's talking about, you know, like the wage gap, the wealth gap, these opportunities that are not created. One of the big things with it, like similar to the original New Deal with FDR, is that it would be like government subsidied public high paying jobs, basically, like where they would help these energy companies kind of, you know, get some things started to give these opportunities to communities that are relying heavily already on the oil field to make their money. So just kind of like something to think about that transition. So I know with that one, three of the big sectors that we were talking about were like renewable energy,
solar,
like wind, all that stuff, the electronic vehicles. Those have been taking off. Those are going crazy.
I need that Hummer.
Man, y'all seen that new Hummer, son?
I seen the Hummer. Who has another BMW? Yeah. Derby's got one.
Rivian.
Wait, what? It's a Hummer.
Did you see the electric Hummer, my brother?
I have not seen the electric Hummer.
No, I did see the price. The price is ridiculous.
Now they mind thinking people going to pay that shit.
Yeah, my brother. The price is ridiculous. Did you see the little thing it could do with the wheels?
That's fine.
That shit was precious, son. I'm not
paying six figures for an electric Hummer, bro.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they're starting off at a band.
Jared, hear me out though, son. Hear me out. They did some great marketing with this thing, man. They had this little piece on the commercial, bro, where it was like the wheels, son, them wheels can turn diagonal.
Hey everyone, it's Justin Biggs here from the Biggs vs. Biggs podcast. If you're a fan of sports podcasts, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Biggs vs. Biggs, a show that covers upcoming fights, fight reviews, and interviews with some of boxing's brightest stars. And it's brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
And your truck stay the same thing.
Your truck stay the same direction. And your shit could like spider walk, my brother.
It's called a crab walk.
I ain't gonna lie, it's pretty cool. I ain't gonna lie, they got some pretty precious stuff. But like, just with that said, like, the electronic vehicle market, it's a lot of speculation around it right now, a lot of proposed, like, people thinking this is going to be the new way.
The next thing, yeah, the next big thing.
And with that, just talking about going back to electric vehicles and talking about Hummer, do y'all think that's going to be the upcoming push for GM to come back in Detroit?
It is. They actually are converting that manufacturing, the Detroit facility, into an electric manufacturing facility. And that's what a lot of companies are doing. Mm-hmm. A lot of the existing companies, they're converting some of those factories where they're producing into actual electric vehicle producing factories. There's another company called Rivian. Rivian was invested, Ford,
right?
Ford and Amazon invested in a Rivian. Mm. So Rivian is another electric brand. They have a truck that they're about to drop, and the truck's supposed to go 400 plus miles. It got like 750 horsepower, 0-60 in like 3 seconds or some shit. And like their whole thing is they're designing like what's called a skateboard thing. And it's just going to be like something where you can place different models onto this and you can get different electric vehicles. So the reason Ford partnered with them, I went and do some research. Ford is going to take that skateboard, do a model off of it. And Amazon is going to take that skateboard and do their delivery vehicles off of that thing. So they're trying to make sure that Rivian is proven and that Rivian can be successful. But what Rivian did was they purchased the old Mitsubishi site and they redone it into where it's now a fully automated electrical vehicle site to where you can start just processing. So now they didn't have to go buy a new facility and start new construction like Tesla's doing. No, they found something that was already existing and they just converted it over.
Changed the means of production to making these newer things. But I think that's definitely a very interesting trend to point out too. Like just even with this Green New Deal, like a lot of these companies that are already here, that have been here for a while, they're definitely starting to make their pivot. And that's something for people to pay attention to. Like even with Workhorse with the USPS. So USPS, they got
Get that deal?
They didn't get the deal yet.
So
USPS, for anybody that's unfamiliar, our government is part of that Green New Deal proposal is like trying to get all of our mail carriers on electric vehicles by 2030. So there's a big, huge contract out there. I think it's like $6 to $8 billion or something like that for these companies. And they're not sure how they're going to allocate it. Like it's a lot of speculation around it. Some think like Workhorse is going to get the whole contract. Some think they're going to break it up between multiple companies. Nobody's really sure yet how it's going to play out. But that right there is just another sign like, okay, this is where things are moving. If the Postal Service that's been around since the goddamn, 1800s? Like the Postal Service, they started off on horses, like my brother said. Like, they're like, okay, we need to move away from these gas vehicles onto these more renewable sources. That's like definitely something for you to be looking at for the next 10 years. Like, everybody loves Tesla. We love Tesla because it's like, you know, Tesla volatile as hell. It's crazy. They had a stock split.
Everybody
love Elon Musk, but there are a lot of other actual players in this market.
It's a lot of players in that market. It's going to get bigger and bigger as time grows.
And they're fairly new, too. Fairly new. So we say all of that to say, start looking at some of these electric companies that you can get into the market with before you got to pay taxes on trading and stuff. Just saying, if that does happen. So start looking into some of these things that you can start benefiting from.
Don't just invest blindly into these things. Like, I just want to talk about one company real quick, Nikola.
I was about to say the one that let you down.
Yeah, man, Nikola, man. I ain't going to lie. They let me down, man. I seen a picture of one.
He was on Nikola?
I saw their truck, son. I saw the design. I was like, ooh, that truck pressure, son. Ooh, man, that thing. Like, that been hard. That's one of the hardest trucks. Then, like, I started digging more into them. And it's a lot of shit with Nikola. Like, they don't even have an actual truck on the road.
No, their truck does not work. The truck that they put on the video was getting pulled.
Bro, they on a low-grade hill, a very low-grade hill. And, like, I was looking at it, and I was like, damn, they are right. Like, if you paying attention to it, the way the camera angle is, they try to, like, tilt it so you can't really see. But it's definitely, like, on a downward slope, and it's just, like, coasting. They pulled it to the top and let it coast.
So I think the biggest thing with that, so I don't want to get too far into it, but just make sure you do your research. If a company ain't released a product yet, it's just speculative, guys.
And they public?
It's just speculative. Don't put your life savings into it. Don't buy the hype. It's just speculative.
Real quick, I'm gonna give people something else. Just
they reported earnings last week. What you think they earned?
I don't know.
What do you think they generated?
Probably pretty big. Zero. Big fancy.
They ain't got no revenue.
I can imagine, bro.
So here's my thing, right? They must have did that SPAC to go public.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay. All these EV companies are doing SPAC.
They also. So, okay, just to talk to that y'all about that, because I was supposed to talk to y'all about that a while ago. For anybody that's unfamiliar with SPACs, that's something that it's been around for a while. They've been really popular coming into 2020. What a SPAC is a special purpose acquisition company. So what those are, basically they're called blank check companies. So these companies, they get people who are like hedge fund managers, you know, people who invest in venture, that type of stuff for a living. And their goal is they take a company public that has no operations. They raise a bunch of capital, and the purpose of that company is to purchase another company. So we've seen a lot of SPAC acquisitions over the past 3 or 4 months.
It's the busiest since the 90s?
Yeah. Like SPACs have fell off for a long time, but now, like, that's how most people are going public right now. I think who was the most recent?
I think Helion just did.
Helion.
It was one that was recent.
Diamond Peak was one that bought somebody. I think they bought Lordstown Motor.
Yeah.
That's another EV company I think it's British or something like that. But either way, these SPACs are allowing these companies to go public, and it's a way to buy into a company. So, like, whenever you buy a SPAC, right, this is usually some of these companies are already public, but some of these companies aren't public that they're buying. So what you're doing is buying the stock of this company that's not really a company. And then whenever they actually make the acquisition.
So whenever they buy.
Yeah, whenever they buy. That's a detail I left out. With SPACs, they have to make a purchase within 2 years.
Yes.
That's the thing. Like, so if they form a SPAC, if they started in 2018, 2020, they have to make something shake, or they have to disband it and redistribute the funds back to investors. So that's a way for people to get into some of these companies that are recently going public, maybe. But I wouldn't just say just do it. Definitely look at, do your research.
Like I said, it's speculative.
Yeah.
A company ain't got no business.
Mm.
Unless they prove it, how they making that bread.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're going down that fundamental analysis whenever you talk about that in the stock course.
Yes, sir.
Coming soon. Okay. So next topic, man. One of the last topics we got. So this is something else I want to talk about. I guess it kind of relates to black capitalism some, man. This ain't really just for black people, but recently, man, we had seen this week Supreme sold for $2.1 billion, right?
Billy.
God damn it. It's VF was
the Vans.
Vans, the people that own Vans. Yeah. Vans.
That's a foreign market to buy, though.
Vans, that's somebody smart. Else. And it's like three companies. The parent company that owns it. It's like, I think the name of the company is VF. But yeah, Supreme sold for $2.1 billion. And like, for anybody that's unfamiliar, like Supreme, all this hype beast shit like that, like, this stuff came up off the backs of black people. Let's keep it real. Like, whenever it came to how Supreme got hot, Jalen and I was talking about this. Like, whenever we was in like sixth grade or whatever, we would play like those skating video games. And Supreme was a skater brand. We want to make that clear. Like, that was not something that was mainstream. It was one of those like DC things. Like,
that's why I thought it was interchangeable. That's why I was like, Vans makes sense.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things. But like, how it hit that mainstream
and exclusivity
was like through rappers. I know one of the most iconic images, I think I seen a clip on it, was Jim Jones talking about
it. Yeah, I seen it to you yesterday.
Yeah, Jim Jones talking about how that Dipset photo was like one of the most iconic photos of Supreme. And like, it really, at the time, who Dipset was to hip hop, how it launched that brand into the stratosphere, and they had no equity in that.
Yeah. I think between that and I remember the NBA had the Supreme sleeves. That shit was wild. Like, I definitely remember.
They did do that with Supreme.
I remember J.R. Smith had one and shit. Like, it's interesting to see like how we as a community, as a black community, we big up brands, but we don't do it when we have equity.
Mm. It's crazy.
Even like with a lot of rappers, like talking about Hennessy, talking about certain Chris Style. I remember like Jay-Z talking about Chris Style.
Hennessy nasty as hell. Hey, y'all, I ain't going to say it no more because they don't get no free promo. But look, y'all stop drinking that shit. Go drink a black-owned brand.
Oh, so do you get big ups to people like Ross and Jay-Z for owning?
Yes, because like Jay-Z talked about his mistake, right? He said with Cristal, he made Cristal all this money, and he was like, damn.
I ain't get paid shit
for none of that. I was rapping by Cristal. I was buying their bottles. I was the consumer, not getting paid. Then he started Ace of Spades. Now I think it's worth like half a bill.
Imagine. I still think to this day, the best one was
Vitamin Water.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that Vitamin Water.
That Vitamin Water went hard because you knew exactly who owned it and how he got into it. It was really, really dope. Whenever they sold to Coke, that shit was dope.
Yeah.
But we say all that to say, like, when it comes to us promoting these brands with people and us just thinking about, like, growing and partnering with people or just in general, we got to stop lending our influence out for free. Like, as with us thinking about, we got to start thinking about ourselves more as businesses, as Black people individually, like as a brand individually. Because, like, even though you and I and Kelly, we don't have hundreds of millions of followers on Instagram individually. But if we posting pictures of us with Hennessy and shit like that, like, technically, you a micro-influencer. We all micro-influencers in our own right. Like, we're giving them free promo to be their consumers. Mm. When, in all reality, these people not doing shit to invest in us. I'm going to say, Henny did do a little thing during the pandemic. I forgot what it was like.
They invested into, HBCUs and stuff like that. But, like you're saying, though, there's a lot of people who do that because even like with people who start YouTube channels, there's like some, I remember there was that one dude, Henny Man, like he would literally cook everything with Hennessy. I know you know what I'm talking about. Like this dude just literally, everything he was pouring Henny on it. He was barbecuing.
Let me hit it with the Henny.
Like it was just crazy stuff, bro. And I'm like,
how many sales you think you got Hennessy
though? That's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder, were you getting paid from this? Like you going this hard behind this? Or there's even some people, oh, I only rock Adidas, I only rock Nike, I only do this. You're being a poster child for these people, but what are you receiving from that?
And I think you got to understand where you are. Like, you've got to understand the deal. So, you know, let's say you are getting paid. Let's say it's just an affiliate link, right? Mm-hmm. I would rather have equity than a fucking affiliate link.
True.
Especially if I'm making millions of sales.
Especially if it's evergreen, exactly. Like the Henny Man shit.
Exactly.
That's evergreen content.
I don't want just, because these affiliate sales are cool, but that eventually goes away.
Facts.
You eventually want to get equity in it, so if they do end up selling or if you just get checks monthly, you know? So I think it's definitely understanding your leverage and understanding how much you're making for that brand and try to leverage that into an equity deal. I think you're seeing that a lot of times with sports. With athletes, they're starting to get equity into their companies.
Pat Mahomes just did a deal recently. I think we posted about it. He got equity in a sports brand. I think it's a new sports fitness brand or something like that. Don't make me lie to y'all on all the details.
Let me go check.
Did y'all see that dude who made that viral Ocean Spray video? And then, like, they got him a car and, like, some other stuff?
I did see that guy. He had ownership.
What he did?
Have ownership.
So, it was this guy. He posted a video. It was him skateboarding and drinking some Ocean Spray. And then, so, like, it went viral. And it was, like, all over the place. And so Ocean Spray reached out to him. And I think they ended up, like, giving him a car and some money, some different stuff like that. Just, like, some, you know, kind of paying back for being a big influencer for him or whatever. But I did also kind of want to piggyback on what y'all said with something that Jalen had said earlier as far as not knowing, like, or not being able to be in that position. Like, I think that's where, like, again, wrapping in even with the Black capitalism, that's where we as Black capitalists have to come back and start the education process where people can understand how they can be in an advantageous position to have ownership and, like, what to do whenever you see stuff happening. Like, as you see a video of you doing something going viral, what do I do? You know what I'm saying? How do I secure that bag for myself?
Man.
I got a question for y'all.
What's that?
I don't know if y'all seen it. I haven't been on Twitter recently, but I did get on it this weekend. And I'm seeing all these people mad at these people buying PS5s.
Oh, man.
You know who I'm mad at? The motherfuckers buying toilet paper again, man. I thought we were past this shit.
Look, we're going to switch it to what's on your timeline.
But, okay. So, yeah, okay, let's talk about it, man. Like, fuck.
PS5s,
man.
Xbox.
So, like, people be talking about resellers. We just talked about this shit with Reese, right?
Yeah.
Everybody hired these PS5 people. They bought up all the PS5s. I can't get my kid one for Christmas, right? So, it's like, all right, you rushing out to buy this new next-gen console. And like we talked about with Malcolm Adams, you paying a premium to be a beta tester for these people.
Mm.
You're going to pay the premium to be a beta tester.
The same thing with the iPhone. It's the same exact thing. Everybody knows when Apple releases the newest iPhone, it's going to fuck up. So why not just be patient and wait? You're going to get it at a discount, mm-hmm. and it's going to be better.
Mm. And the thing is with it to me, like with these PS5s, right, people hate resellers, like we was talking about with Reese. But there is a market for it, and people are going to pay them regardless, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're upset because you got priced out. They got there before you and they priced you out. But this is not going to continue forever. You can get a PS5. It's going to take a little time.
Some people are mad, though. They're like, you had that much money to buy all of them PS5s. Why the hell you ain't do something else?
Yeah, I had seen a photo of somebody had 9 PS5s and 9 Xboxes.
In the car, yeah.
He was selling them for like $200 extra a piece.
Hey. Get your money, my man. I ain't mad at you, homie. Because guess what?
I ain't going to be the one buying this shit.
I ain't buying that shit. Like, that's my thing, too. Like, people act like you can't live without this shit, man.
And also, like, you don't have to have it right off the bat. Okay, they bought it all. Guess what? PlayStation going to make some more. Like,
trust me, trust and believe. Sony and Microsoft is about that money, my nigga. They want make that some bread. More.
And guess what? Next year, it's going to be a whole lot cheaper, like you said. They're going to come up with the PS5 Slim.
It's always going to be an upgrade.
That bit going to be slightly smaller.
Hell yeah.
And $100 less.
Hell yeah. And it's going to have a bigger hard drive.
The niggas that bought this shit going to be mad.
Oh, yeah. Man, I got this big old ugly.
Bought that bitch from a reseller for $1,000. Could have got that shit for $299 one year later.
My thing also, too, is just like people sometimes misdirect their anger, too. Like, you mad at the resellers when, like, all they doing is just capitalizing on the demand. Like, if it wasn't people out there that wanted to buy them for $1,000, they wouldn't be selling them for $1,000. Like, be mad. If you're going to be mad at anybody, be upset with the companies. Like, why did you send out a limited supply when you knew how much demand was going to be for the system? Like, be mad at them.
Be upset with yourself for waiting in line at 5 o'clock in the damn morning.
Learn about the box from my boy Reese.
Episode. I'm about to say, I ain't even going to get that mad at him for that. Like, you can want it. You can want it that bad. But, like, if you're going to be mad because you wanted it, be mad at the right people.
But the reason why I said, like, be mad at yourself for that, because if they wouldn't see this line of people waiting outside at 5 o'clock in the morning, they wouldn't have had the idea. Man,
that's
people really want
so
this.
Many of these.
Yeah, like, people really want this.
Supply and demand.
Rules the world, man.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Back to this toilet paper stuff, too, man. People tripping again, man.
Man, I don't know what's wrong with folks, man.
Toilet paper again?
Yeah, bro, I hear. Because, you know, with the corona, a lot of stuff been getting... The case number has been, like, skyrocketing.
It's in every state.
Yeah, like,
Every state is going up.
But, like, out here, I don't understand when it happened, but they just reporting on it the past few days. Like, people have been buying toilet paper, like, out the ass again. Because they're starting to shut down schools and stuff here. They're starting to
never reopen schools.
To be honest, yeah. They just shut down my girl's school, and, like, that was long overdue. They had, like, 30 cases before they shut that shit down. Like, kid, it's
30?
Yeah, bro. Why? Like, here's the thing, like, it's dumb as hell, because, you know, parents got multiple kids, right? So they have one kid test positive, and they just send the other two to school. So it's like, yo.
what purpose is this fucking serving?
You know they in the same house, right?
Remember what we said, take advantage. Understand what's going on, take advantage. So if all these schools are getting closed down, what system do you think they're going to be on to do school?
Google Meet or Zoom, one of the two.
Where do you think these kids are going to go for tutoring?
Zoom.
Chig.
Oh, Chig. I forgot about them.
Chig.
That's part of the reason why Chig was hiring tutors. Like $20 an hour.
Exactly. So much demand, bro.
Everything has a reaction to it. And that's one thing I definitely want people to gather from this episode. Like, with whatever happens, especially like in the U.S., there's a potential for like you to take advantage of that situation. You might feel like you are an underpaid teacher. And then coronavirus happens. Now people can't go to class or go to school specifically, you know, in person. All right, cool. Let me specialize in tutoring and then tutor over Zoom. And now I can make more than I ever did at the school. You see what I'm saying? Like, you just have to take advantage and notice the opportunities whenever you see them.
Opportunity always around. You just got to be able to seize it.
And that always goes back to what we were just talking about, like the black capitalism, mm-hmm. like even just capitalism in general. A lot of people, you know, want socialism and all of these other things, but you don't realize some of the things that you're giving up whenever you won't have capitalism.
Show me an example of socialism that worked.
And I'm not even going to come at it like that.
Full,
I just like, feel like
full socialism. I'm talking about like
full-blown socialism.
Full-blown socialism.
It don't work. It don't work.
Like, it has to have a capitalistic element to it.
Yeah, like, I definitely feel like it needs to be something hybrid. Mm-hmm. But, like, just to get rid of the true nature of capitalism, I feel like you're going to get rid of a lot of creativity.
Oh, yeah, innovation.
You're going to get rid of a lot of innovation.
There's one thing I do want to make sure everybody knows is America was never run off true capitalism. Nah.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of socialist programs.
Yeah,
like, between that and then, like, just think about every time somebody gets bailed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say bailout.
And then let certain companies die. Just not going to let
too important for the infrastructure of the economy.
Exactly. Yeah, you just talked about UPS. Yeah. They're not going to let them
no,
die.
No, fuck no.
Because, like, that's another thing that capitalism works. Like, either you're going to be really successful or you're going to fucking fail. But like you're saying, like, some of these companies, they're not going to let them die. American Airlines, they're not going to let these damn airlines.
They're not going to let Boeing go under. They're
no.
Not gonna let
God, happen. No. They have all those defense contracts.
They're not going to do that. So if you know that, like I said, along with the theme of this episode, if you understand it, take it to your advantage. Mm.
So we do be kind of going along with this one, but I do want to hop on one last thing before we wrap this thing up, y'all. Talk about a couple of the adventures that we've been doing as BWR just differently. I know my brother Jared, he mentioned a few episodes back that he purchased his first mobile home. Give my brother the claps, man. I need my brother to get the claps. Yeah. He became a mobile home investor. Bought him his first one for $2,500, and now he's in the rehab process. So, Brother Spiller, could you speak to him about how that journey's been going for you?
Man, it's been interesting. It's been a lot of learning. I definitely took a lot of gems from the episode that we had with Tyrone McDaniel, and that really, really helped. Like, especially with different things as far as working with the contractors and finding one, number one, was difficult. Like, I always thought that, you know, all the stuff that I heard, you know, different things, like, might be cap as far as finding somebody good to help. That's real life. It's going to be 9 times out of 10, it's hard to find somebody reliable and that's going to be on time and everything as far as the construction. But once you do find a contractor, you want to stick with them. And, like, you definitely want to try them out and, you know, pay them in portions. Like, I noticed that working out really well, too. So, like, I just took a lot of the stuff that he told us from that episode, and that helped really well with finding a contractor and getting a contractor going. The only other thing that I would say, too, is that it's been really, really expensive, like, over budget for what you think is going to happen. And, like, so I've been able to make it shake, but it's just been kind of difficult as far as, like, or not difficult, it was just more than what I expected. So going into that first process, I didn't expect, you know, as many different things to need to be fixed or as many different things to go wrong as they did. So, I mean, it's just been fixing it every, you know, making everything work from there. But so far, I have gotten a new roof on it. I'm going to start, you know, trying to document the process and everything with that. If anybody would like to follow along with that process, just let me know. Y'all leave comments and different stuff. Let me reach out to us via email. Let me know. I'm thinking about putting together like an email list or something so I can kind of let people follow along with the process that may be interested in learning like how to rehab and a property goes. Because like, I didn't know anything about any of this and now I'm just kind of getting thrust into it. So y'all can learn from my mistakes.
You learning in the fire, my brother. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely love it. Hey, so y'all definitely check out that email list too. And the other venture that I wanted to talk about was the one that we did together.
Mm-hmm.
we talked about. I'm not sure. Do we ever really talk about it on the pod?
I think we like kind of hinted to it and mentioned it, but we didn't go into full detail.
So our guest, our good friend, Brian Robinson, y'all shout out to my brother. Yeah. Y'all follow him on the gram.
Yeah, he got a new CPA underscore at the end. Yeah, he got a new Instagram. Y'all go follow him, man.
Our brother Brian, he put us on to the rental car business. In our episode with him, he was telling us, like, whenever he was trying to sell for his first property, how he stumbled into this rental car business with HireCar, where he was loaning out a car, like his, I think it was actually his, like his extra car or something like that, just to create passive income. And what he saw was an opportunity to scale it because it didn't really require him to do anything. All he had to do was own the car. So earlier this year, BWR, like we were looking at it and we're like, man, we need to get us an asset under our account. So we went ahead and we purchased a car from Hertz. Speaking of opportunities and capitalizing on them, this was right around the time Hertz had announced that they were bankrupt and they were trying to get off a lot of their inventory. So we were like, okay, the opportunity presents itself. We have the cash on hand. Let's go purchase a vehicle. So we went and we got us a Nissan Sentra, 2018 Nissan Sentra. I think it had like 30,000 miles on it or something like that.
36,000.
Yeah. We got it for right under $10,000. And it took a little while to get it on the road for us. We had a couple different...
Due to coronavirus.
Yeah, with like that. Corona, we had a couple different hurdles. It was in between our move from, me and Jalen, our move from Louisiana to Dallas. So it took us a little while because we purchased the car in Texas, brought it to Louisiana, then brought it back to Texas to actually get it back on the road because the Louisiana market wasn't as great. But it's been pretty great since. I mean, ever since we actually got it rolling and on the road, passive income is the name of that game, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's very passive. Very, very, very passive.
So, like, we had this car. Our first rental wasn't the greatest. We will be honest with that one. This goes to speaking to the power of your words, people. I will say this. So, we have the car. It's meant to be a rental. The girl was asking me, the one that was renting it from us, she was like, y'all gonna need this back anytime? So, I was like, nah, we bought this to be a rental. Keep it as long as you need. But she took that shit a little too literally. She took that shit a little too literally. So, like,
wait, she ain't pay us, y'all. That's what the hell happened.
No, I'm not gonna just say she didn't pay us.
She paid us
solidly for like the first 2 weeks.
She made us feel good about it. So, all right.
Yeah, it was worth it. She started falling back behind on payments a little bit. Like, she fall behind, and then we like,
We give you a chance, you catch up.
Like, she'd be like a day late, 2 days late. Then she'd pay for 3 days. Like, okay, all right, you know, you're staying on the, you're on the ball, whatever. And then we went to Colorado for our business retreat. And when we came back, it was like, yo, it's been like 4 days.
Why haven't you paid?
Why you ain't paid? Like, we hit her up. She's like, oh, man.
Something happened with my bank account.
The way my bank account set up here, you know. Man, I ain't trying to hear that shit. So long story short, we had to go repo our shit from her for the first girl. But still, even off that experience, she left owing us like a couple $100. And we still made like $500 or $600 off that rental. Mm-hmm. And last month, we had our second rental renter come in, and I mean, this guy's been amazing. He had the car every day, and I get a text message every day where this man is talking about extending his rental automatically. That's one of the beautiful things. So, like, every day
we collect
what, like, it's like $26.25 after HireCar takes their fees. Yeah. And over the past month, I think we've generated like $839. Off that car. So, like, just looking at it from a cap rate type perspective, right?
Hey, that's better than damn real estate.
That's what I'm saying. We collected $839 last month.
Like nine.
Well, okay, let's talk about all the stuff.
Yeah,
that we
total.
Like,
we had to put the registration.
We had registration.
I'd say probably about $11,000.
We ended up replacing the tire. That was like a couple $100. But I mean, all in, I'm pretty sure we still. We $11,000 is about where we at all in. And we ain't got these numbers pulled up in front of y'all. Just to let y'all know, we definitely keeping track of this shit. So, like, from a percentage standpoint, that's a 7.6% cap rate. 7.6%. So, like,
what is a cap rate for anybody who don't
know? Okay, that's basically saying, how long is it going to take for you to get the money you invested back?
So,
that's just monthly.
Yeah, so, like, that's monthly. 7%. I'm earning 7% on my investment every month.
Every month. So, 7% of what we paid into this is paid back to us whenever we get full rentals every month. So now we got, imagine this is duplicated over 10 months. We've already made our money back.
Hell yeah.
Off of one year.
I hope he keep it. Oh, Lord Jesus.
I hope he do too.
I'll sell it to you, brother.
But yeah, it's definitely a dope thing to get into for anybody that's interested in that. You don't have to go about it the way we did where we purchased the car outright. Our brother Brian actually goes into how you can take advantage of financing a car to create cash flow that way.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking into doing that one personally myself within the next few months. I'm thinking about knocking that one out before the end of 2020. God damn. Ooh, we.
It's been a hell of a year, man.
A hell of a year, the end of 2020. But yeah, that's definitely another great, great resource that people don't take advantage of enough. If you're looking like to create some cash flow in your life, just like a way to get an asset that's not a typical asset that doesn't really, because you know, a lot of these other assets is kind of harder to get approved for, like a rental property or something like that. This is a good way to create cash flow. So,
oh, they're going
to
approve you for a car real quick.
They're going to approve your ass for a car in a heartbeat. You can stated income on that shit.
Make sure you do your numbers.
Yeah, yes, numbers.
I say all that to say, y'all, if y'all want to learn about this game more in depth from my brother Brian, definitely y'all tap in with his course. We're going to make sure we tap that in the link notes, the show notes too. The car rental business course is the blueprint. It's what we use to get started. It's what you can use to get started. It's a really great thing. Like, my brother really putting people on game with how to make some actual true passive income. So y'all definitely check that out.
I've just seen a commercial on
Hire Car. Yep.
Oh, shit.
They got a commercial for it on Snap, too.
Okay. All right. I'm liking what I'm seeing with Hire Car. Yeah.
I got some shares, though. It ain't good right now.
I'm about to say, I'm not about to buy it. It's not
Yeah, they public. Yeah, they public. It's like $3 right now, but I ain't going to lie. With the Rona, they share.
How long have they been public?
I didn't know they were public.
I don't know. I was just playing on my either Yahoo Finance or Think I'll Swim one day. I was like, wait, Hire Car's public?
Well, yeah, that's interesting. But all right, y'all. So with all that stuff said,
it's been a long episode.
It's just been the crew. You know, we just chopping it up, talking, giving y'all different insight, perspective on different things. The reviews.
Mr. So, Spiller, you want to do your job?
Yeah, let's hop into the house cleaning. Let my brother Jared
shout out. Yeah, shout out our people, hey, man.
We got a few new reviews.
If you love your mama, make sure you like this video.
If you love your mama, your pa, your daddy, your mama, anybody, like and send it to them.
If you love me, like it. If you love Black Wolf Renaissance, like it. If you hate us, like it.
On, you better like it.
Hey, do dislikes help you in YouTube algorithm?
I don't know.
I want to ask about that.
Okay, if you didn't like it, dislike it.
Yeah.
Let us know the honest truth.
Yeah, I just want to just let us know something.
Brother Spiller, you trying to pull him up still?
Yeah, I got it. I got a few people, actually, that I got to give a shout out to. I got to catch up. Hold up. Let me see.
I think me and Jalen, who was the last person we shouted out, Jalen? India?
I think.
Since India, we got So Morbid. They said, I'm always listening to you guys' podcast with my pencil and paper ready. It's so powerful and inspiring to know that people that look like me are out here getting that wealth the legal way. I just want to say thank you and keep doing what you guys are doing because this is just what we need. Thank you, So Morbid. Let me see who else we got. Sports Boy Q, one of my go-to podcasts. Wish y'all much success. Shout out you, my guy. Also got This Is Why We Listen to You Guys by Jab HK. This is why I listen to you guys. Episode 83 was, dare I say, the best one yet. Thank you for all the hard work that y'all put into each and every episode. Keep going hard, fellas. And then last but not least, Miss Allie, 29. I came across y'all podcast one day just looking for something different and growth mindset and generational wealth. Y'all keep doing y'all thing. I love it. Share J, Atlanta, GA. Hey, appreciate you. Shout out you. Thank you.
Hey, man. Shout out to all y'all, man. Much love. We appreciate y'all so much. Y'all continue to rock with us. Y'all keep rocking with Black Wolf Renaissance. Jalen, show them the shirt. The new merch that we got out.
Y'all get this new merch.
Check out the new merch. Breaking Generational Curses, Building Generational Wealth. That's the new merch. We're going to have that down in the link, too. Y'all fuck with us. Y'all keep rocking with us.
I got something.
What?
I want to know if y'all really do enjoy us or just talking like these episodes. Or either in the rating section or even if you're watching on YouTube, the comments, let us know if you actually do enjoy us for just talking.
Yeah, because we know we do a lot of with guests. We started off where it was just us four. So if we need to, we can start doing more episodes where it's just us talking.
And let us know what topics y'all want us to cover in those episodes too. Like, if you like it or dislike it, like, hey, I like it. Y'all need to talk about this next. Like, let us know. We talk back. I promise.
Talk to me. We talk back. I love it. All right, y'all. Well, this has been one longer episode of the BWR podcast. Y'all got anything else, fellas?
Go get that credit course.
Go get the credit course. Yes. Get that free downloadable. The link is in the show notes. Yeah. Y'all, these show notes are going to be crazy. Y'all need to check them out for the value. But with that said, look, this is David with Blackwell Renaissance with the rest of the crew, and we signing out. Peace.
I got money on my mind. I'm just trying to get some dough. I ain't picking up my lot unless it's money on the phone. Gotta get it on the daily. All I want is dubs. You know what I'm on. I've been chasing after paper. All I know is run money marathon.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
The pandemic has been hard on all our kids. New studies show more than one in three children who started school in the pandemic now need intensive reading help. That's right. Millions of kids in kindergarten through third grade in the United States cannot read at grade level. Here's the good news. Your child can be reading in just 30 days, guaranteed, with Hooked on Phonics. Even if your child has been struggling, Hooked on Phonics will teach your child to read in just 30 days, guaranteed. And right now, you can get started for just $1. Text the word GRADE to 323232 right now. Hooked on Phonics is highly effective and incredibly fun, and everything can be done right from home and in less than 20 minutes a day. For more than 30 years, Hooked on Phonics has been the proven learn-to-read program that kids love to use. Text GRADE to 323232 and teach your child to read in just 30 days, guaranteed. Text GRADE to 323232 right now and get started for just $1. Text GRADE to 323232 now. Text GRADE to 323232.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.